morning as we open God's Word to the book of Colossians, chapter 4. We're going to bring our study of Colossians to an end today. We're at the very last of this text, and it's been a great journey. I've enjoyed this book. It's a little bit of sadness with finishing this book. We've been here for a long time, and we've tried to cover most of the verses and walk our way through it. To some, it may have seemed like a long journey, but to some of the rest of us, it's really been a short journey in this book. But join me as I begin reading in verse number 7. This is Paul's final words to this church at Colossae. In this text that I'm going to read to you, Paul gives both his final greeting, but also he gives a commendation, a couple of commendations that he wants that church in Colossae to hear and thereby to receive the men that he's going to be sending there. So here's how he concludes this letter. As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant of the Lord, will bring you information. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances, that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number, they will inform you about the whole situation here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings, and also Barnabas' cousin, Mark, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And also Jesus, who is called Justus. These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, from the Jews, and they have proved to be an encouragement to me. Epaphras, who is one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. For I testify for him that he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, sends you his greetings, and also Demas. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea, and also Nympha, and the church that is in her house. When this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans. And you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. Say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my imprisonment. Grace be with you. Lord, thank you for this letter, this book, this instruction manual that we've been working our way through these many weeks and months. And I pray, Lord, that from this letter we will leave the book of Colossians with the theme firmly established in our mind that you are sufficient. You are really all that we need. And what you have done for us, what you have accomplished for us, is ours to receive and believe. And that we can find our confidence in your finished work. Lord, we've all failed. And we will all continue to fail as long as we are robed in this flesh. But you didn't fail. And your work is ours. And because of the great love of God, our Heavenly Father, he looks at us and he sees what you have done. Oh, how marvelous is his amazing grace. Now, as we conclude this letter, as we walk our way through these commendations and greetings, I pray that you will point out whatever you need to show us. May the Holy Spirit truly be our teacher as I guide us through these verses. And may we leave here with a song in our heart. Thank you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, preparing backstage for our baptism this morning, I was talking with Sierra, and I know Sierra's a senior, and she's getting ready, you know, the clock is ticking, and she'll be leaving us soon for college, and I just made mention to her, I said, Sierra, in a little while you're going to be leaving us, and aren't you going to miss my sermons? And she said, oh, Pastor Tom, she says, they're on the web, they're on the net, our website. I'll get to hear them every week. And I said to her, I said, but aren't they a little bit stale on the internet? And she said, your sermons are never stale. That's going in my report. I'm telling you, that has been spoken and I'm writing it down. And that's an encouragement. Well, we're leaving this letter today. It's a little bit of a sadness to me. We've spent a great deal of time here. We started in April of last year with the very first verse, and we've worked our way through little gaps and times there, but we worked our way through, and now with the apostle's heart, with his final words, and you know, you sum up what you've said, what you felt, what you wanted to express to people that you love, and that's what he's done in these chapters. And he brings it here to focus on his situation, where he is, what he wants them to know. As I've been telling you, Paul is in a Roman prison. He's probably under house arrest. We know he is confined in chains. This is not his last imprisonment in Rome, by the way. He's going to be put there again. And from the book of 2 Timothy, you can read that account and some of his concerns there. But here he's going to be sending out information from his situation in maybe a two-year incarceration here in Rome. He's writing this letter. I'm moving from the book of Colossians next Lord's Day, Lord willing, to the book of Philemon, which is a sort of a carryover. He probably wrote at the same time. He also wrote the book of Ephesians from this same place. The book of Ephesians is all you need. If you haven't read Ephesians or studied the book of Ephesians, you haven't grown as a Christian and you haven't matured into understanding the things of God that he gives in that bank of the believer epistle. So he's got the book of Colossians, he's got the book of Ephesians, he's got the book of Philippians, he's got this book, Colossians, he's writing from this place in Rome. And here's what he says. As to all my affairs, Tychicus, our beloved brother and faithful servant and fellow bondservant of the Lord, will bring you information. Now, in this commendation, and Paul gives two here in these verses, two commendations followed by six greetings. But the two commendations should not escape our notice. We should look at them carefully. First of all, he wants to ensure that Tychicus and Onesimus are well received in the church. Now, Paul had never visited the church at Colossae. He had only heard about them, been encouraged by them, and so he's sending these men back. And they are both familiar with the church. But Paul wants to ensure that this church will receive them back. And there's reasons for that. One of these two men had a pretty bad past. And when he goes back to Colossae, they need to know that this man has truly been changed. And he's been one of Paul's disciples and one of Paul's converts. So here he introduces us to Tychicus. Tychicus is mentioned five times in the New Testament. And Paul mentions, and by the way, that didn't escape my notice either. I'm not mentioned once. Well, maybe I am. chosen in him before the foundation of the world. The book of Ephesians, that includes me, right? Tychicus, five times in the New Testament, he's mentioned. And when we start stringing together the things we know about him, we first meet him in the book of Acts, chapter 20, and verse 4. This is the end of Paul's third missionary journey in Ephesus. And there Tychicus is with him. And we follow the track of Tychicus all through, and you can understand why Paul says three things about him. He's called a beloved brother, a faithful servant, and a fellow bond servant. Now, I want you to kind of understand just a little bit and appreciate what this man was called upon to do. It's my belief that Tychicus carried with him probably the book of Ephesians. We know the book of Colossians and Philemon. Don't know, possibly he carried Philippians. But regardless, he was entrusted by the Apostle Paul to carry these sacred divine manuscripts all the way from Rome to Colossae. Now I got to thinking this week, wonder how far that is, or wonder what was involved in that. In Europe, you can go anywhere on a train. Trains are everywhere. You could just go anywhere. It's a wonderful way of travel. But I don't think he had the access to the railway. Basically, as I understand it, leaving Rome, he would have to cross from west to east all the way across Italy. Rome is maybe two-thirds of the way up on the boot. He would start from there. He would make his way all the way across on foot. He would then get on a ship and sail across the Adriatic Sea. And from there he would land on the coast, the Macedonian coast, somewhere in Greece. And he would then have to cross that land on foot, which is a larger distance than from Rome to the Adriatic Sea. Then he would get on another ship, and he would sail across the Aegean Sea, finally landing on the coast, and have to walk at least 100 miles on foot to reach Colossae. When I think about what this man, what his life represents, I see very little of this today. People being willing to give up their time, to give up their careers, to give up anything for God. But here's this man, Tychicus, and you're going to see him when you get to heaven. He's going to be standing right next to the Apostle Paul. And he was Paul's trusted assistant. Now, beloved, when God needs a courier, who does he choose? When he wants to get a message to a place, who does he choose? Sometimes he chooses a man like Tychicus. Other times he chooses a man like Jonah, who didn't want to go. Who, a matter of fact, when he got his marching orders, he got on a ship and went 1,000 miles in the wrong direction. God threw him overboard. And that great subterranean seminary taught him a thing or two until he got out on land, probably bleached white. I have a little bit in common with him. But the gastric juices of that great fish, and it's been proven a man in England was actually found days after he was swallowed by this great fish. He lived to tell about it. His entire body the pigment was gone and he was white. Well, here comes this prophet, not willing to go, but did go. God can choose who God wants to choose. The truth is that when God wants a message to go, he will make sure he has a courier. Now, I want you to look at this description. There are three things said about Tychicus. I don't want us to pass by them. He says, first of all, that that this man was our beloved brother. Actually, the word our, that plural pronoun, is not in the text. You might notice in your Bible it's in italics, because it's been supplied by the interpreter here, the translator. Actually, this word beloved brother has a definite article in front of it, and I'm not sure why it wasn't translated that way. The beloved brother. I think the Apostle Paul, I think the people knew about Tychicus. I think it was common knowledge. This was the beloved brother. This was the guy who's trusted to take God's word from place to place, from Italy to Greece, all the way to Asia Minor, and be faithful in doing it. Oh, he's called the beloved brother. Now, around here, it's not as much anymore as it used to be, but when I was growing up as a young preacher in the 70s, everybody was brother. Brother this, brother that, sister this, sister that. It's still that way some places. People ask me, what do you want to be called, Brother Tom? I said, well, not really. Call me Pastor Tom, or just call me Tom. Somehow, it's just my personal thing, but I think I've changed after reading about Tychicus. I'd like to be called Beloved Pastor Brother Tom. I think that's a little more special. And if you hear anybody calling me Brother Tommy, then you know that that person knew me in those early years. And when I got sophisticated and shortened my name, of course, then that sort of changed. But I think that's a good word, a beloved brother. Now, Paul doesn't say this about everybody. Now, every believer in this room, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. That is a fact. But we're not all, in a personal way, beloved. I have a lot of people who are that I know that are Christians, but I honestly couldn't say to you that they are beloved. Do you get my message a little bit? The presence here of this word for him is special. This man Tychicus, this was said by the apostle Paul. He is the beloved brother. And then the second thing he says about him, he says he is a faithful servant. Now, I think because of the next description, that this description is describing Paul's relationship to Tychicus, that Tychicus served him. And you have to understand that Paul, being under house arrest, or even if he was in prison for those 2 years, the amount of time that this man Tychicus gave to him and served him, this word faithful fits him to the T. When we connect all the dots and connect all the verses, we see that Tychicus, even in two other places, one is in Titus 3:12, when Paul needed a temporary replacement for Titus, who was a pastor in Greece or in Crete, Tychicus was one of the two men considered for the job. That's the type of man that he was. Later, in the very last imprisonment of Paul in Rome, 2 Timothy 4:12, Tychicus was still with him, maybe 6 years later. Paul was facing execution. He so desired to see Timothy again, who was a pastor in Ephesus. Timothy couldn't go, couldn't come to see Paul. And Paul really died almost alone there in Rome by execution. Tychicus was with him. And the scripture says that because Timothy couldn't come, Paul sent Tychicus to him. And he took the letter. Have you ever read Paul's swan song, 2 Timothy? His very last words on this earth, I have finished my course, and what is laid up for me is a crown of life, and for every one of those who love is appearing. And here we have this man who is so faithful in the life of the Apostle Paul. He was a true, faithful servant. I think That is a God thing. I think that Paul did not leave his choice apostle alone, but that he provided him what he needed to get through his ministry and to get through what God had for him. But thirdly, the third word or third expression for this man, Tychicus, it says that he was a fellow bond servant. A bond servant, I'm told, a doulos, was a person that after their slavery was paid for, after their time was up, whatever, that man, if he really loved his master, he would voluntarily, willingly give himself to the master for service. The way that they would describe, or the way that they would demonstrate that to the world, is they would get their ears pierced. Sorry, it is in the Bible. But they would only pierce one, and I don't think then it was important which side, but there was actually a hole in the ear. And that hole, whenever you saw a man with an awl hole, a hole that was put in by an awl, you would look at that man and you would say, he must have a great master. So here we have this word for Tychicus, bond servant, but with the word fellow. This is something that Paul drew him to his side, and this describes really the relationship of these two men to God. Paul called himself a prisoner, never of Rome, but a prisoner of God. He saw himself as a man held captive by the grace of God. And thereby he would call himself a slave in a very positive sense. Here is a description of two people serving God together. Now may I say to you this morning that I have the blessing of having a fellow servant alongside me. And my wife is serving the Lord alongside me serving the Lord. We are together as a team serving the Lord. I know that's not true of everyone here. I know some of you, you've lost your spouse, and that's such a sad thing. I know some of you who wish your spouse would be with you in following the Lord, but that just hasn't come yet. Don't give up praying, but don't nag them about that. The Bible says don't use your words. Just let it be. Trust God with that. And if that person comes alongside, then you can have that person to serve with you. Don't let that keep you from serving. But here, two people serving together. Some of you kids bound for college, I hope that as soon as you get there, you will find somebody there that can stand with you and faithfully attend worship. And don't use the excuse that you can hear Pastor Beloved Tom on the internet. Canned worship is not the same as being in worship. And though it's good, it's really good, but this is something. Find someone that you can serve God with and stand together with, great accountability, and it's just common sense. Now, as a minister, my first priority is to God and then to man. If I get the two reversed, then I'll care more about what you think than what God says and adjust my message to that. Churches that remain loyal to God's Word, we've talked about this in Sunday school class. I read it in the paper this morning, how that in the 50s or 60s, a huge percentage of people would say that premarital sex is wrong based on the Bible. 10 years later, the number dropped about 10% or more. 10 years more, it dropped even more. And so now we're in the mid-30s% of the populace saying that what God has said is wrong is not wrong. And you see what's happening. It's the shifting of values. The church shouldn't stay one pace off of the world. As the world takes its step further away from God and His Word, the church shouldn't step up to fill in the gap. God's never called us to do that. He's called us to just stand on truth and to be humble about it and gracious about it, but to stand. So churches that remain loyal to God's Word will see a definite decline as make-believers look for a watered-down gospel. And my concern today from our Sunday school lesson this morning, from the prophecy of Amos, that a time was coming when God was going to take away His voice, His message, and let the people have just what they want, their godless ways. And the time would come when there would be a famine in the land. Not a famine for food or water, but a famine for the Word of God. Beloved, this is what we call the wrath of abandonment. And this is something that can happen. I don't want it to happen. But I know that God in His providence sent this man with these manuscripts because He wanted the Colossian church to get it right. And this church was read in Colossae. It was moved down to Laodicea, all the churches in the Lycus Valley. Then it moved from there. And every generation, this book of Colossians has been circulating because Tychicus walked across Italy, crossed the sea, crossed Greece, crossed another sea, and didn't give up until the job was done. I love that, don't you? Not the thunder and the lightning. I love that. The fact that God's message is going to go forward. So here we have it. Tychicus, beloved brother, faithful servant, fellow bond servant in the Lord, he will bring you information. For I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know about our circumstances and that he may encourage your hearts. That's another thing about Tychicus. He didn't need to be stroked. He was the one carrying the encouragement with him. A true God-called man. Wow. All right, some of you expecting children? Here you go. What you know now about Tychicus. You could call him Tychicus and he could be Tick for short. Just a thought. The second man that he commends to this Colossian church. We're not going to spend a great deal of time on him because the book of Philemon is all about this man, Onesimus. Onesimus was a runaway slave. And he ran away from Philemon. And the Apostle Paul is going to write Philemon in our next time together, and he's going to give him some instruction about this man that I'm sending back to you. He's not the same man that left. He's been changed. He's been changed. And he's now my disciple. And so Paul says, and with him, Onesimus. How does he describe him? Faithful and beloved brother, who is one of your number. Whoa. He's saying to this church at Colossae, this man who left you, this man who stole from you, this man who did wrong against one of your leading people, Philemon, he's one of yours. And they will inform you about the whole situation here. I tell you what, folks, if the Apostle Paul tells you to do something, you better do it. And this church receiving his letter with apostolic authority, they wouldn't dare go against what this man of God is giving them. So, Onesimus, faithful and beloved. Let me just to give you a little, just to whet your appetite, just a little bit, go with me to the book of Philemon. And I want you to just listen to these verses, and this will just a little bit whet your appetite for what's coming. Verse 10, here's what he says. I appeal to you for my child, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment. He led him to Christ, who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. I have sent him back to you in person, that is, sending my very heart, whom I wished to keep with me, so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything so that your goodness would not be in effect by compulsion, but of your own will. So Philemon, he's an example of 2 Corinthians 5:17. He is the new creation of God. Well, that is the two commendations. I hope that you reread this and rethink about this. Following in brief, we have 6 greetings. The first 3 are Jewish. These are Jewish men. The others, as you will see, it's just a way to close his letter, but Paul wanted to bring this greeting, some of them from those who ask, and others where he just himself decides. Verse 10, Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greeting. And also Barnabas' cousin Mark, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. Mark also had a little bit of questionable things happen in his life where he and Barnabas was his uncle, and Paul and Barnabas wanted to serve on the mission field, and Paul did not trust John Mark, and he says, I can't take him with me because he bailed out last time, and they separated. Boy, there's some theology in that. And so here we see he's speaking favorably about Mark. And also Jesus, who is called Justice. They're the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision, and they have proved to be an encouragement to me. So these 3 men, Aristarchus, we learn about him in Acts chapter 20, actually 19, 29, and 27 too. He's a very faithful man with the Apostle Paul. And of course, Mark, we learn about him, and I told you they had this falling away, but they patched things up. Matter of fact, at the very end of Paul's life in 2 Timothy 4, he says, you know what, when you come, bring Mark with you. And the Apostle Paul wanted to rekindle those things with Mark. If he comes, welcome them. Paul wanted the Colossian church not to hold his past against him. And that instruction is for us as well. The next name on the list, we absolutely have nothing about him in all of the Bible. And also Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are from the circumcision. We know absolutely nothing about him. It's the only reference. The only interesting thing about this man, it says this word encouragement, they were an encouragement to me. It's a different word for encouragement. It's a rare word only found here. And it's actually a word that's on many tombstones. Just one word, this particular word. This person was an encouragement. And then Epaphras. Epaphras we read about in chapter 1 and verse number 7. Just as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow bondservant, who is a faithful servant of Christ on our behalf. Epaphras was probably the pastor at the Colossian church. He was definitely the founder of the Colossian church and went to help the Apostle Paul. And now, serving there with Paul in that area, he's sending back his greetings. And listen to what he says about his own church. And I ask myself this question. I hope I always speak this way about you. Epaphras, one of your number, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, he sends you his greetings, always laboring. That's our word. We get our word agony from this word. He agonizes in prayer earnestly for you that you may stand perfect and fully assured in all the will of God. For I testify for him, he has a deep concern for you and for those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis. This man who was well known by the Colossian church and all of those churches in that valley is sending his greetings to the church. And then we have, and I love this, Luke, verse 14. The writer of the third gospel, who was a physician. And you know what? He stayed with Paul, I think it was from his second missionary journey, all the way to the end of his life. Luke was the Apostle Paul's personal physician. Now there you have it. A minister needs a personal physician. I just let you think about that, but it's right here. Just look at it. The beloved physician, my physician, sends you his greetings. Also, Demas. Well, we could do a whole sermon on Luke, and his gospel is such a wonderful gospel. But I prefer to speak to you a little bit in closing today about Demas, the only fly in the ointment. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is a sad commentary. I don't want to close on a sad note, but this is just what is said about him. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 9. These are his last words. Make every effort to come and see me soon. Young Timothy was his protege. For Demas, having loved this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica, little place in Greece. He's deserted me. Two greatest leaders that we have in our Bible, Jesus and the Apostle Paul, both had people who failed them. Well, in conclusion, he says, greet the brethren who are in Laodicea, also Nymphia, and the church that is in her house or his house, whichever it may be. When this letter is read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and you, for your part, read my letter that is coming from Laodicea. Maybe a reference to another lost letter. You may not know this, but there are actually four letters to the Corinthians. Two we have, and two were lost. We don't have them. God didn't in His providence decide for us to keep them. But then the very last one, say to Archippus, only other time he's mentioned is in Philemon 2, and we'll see that next time. Take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. It could very well be that this man, like Timothy, was ready to throw in the towel, discouraged, not received well. And he says, I want you to say to this man, take a look at your ministry that was given to you by the Lord, and get busy. Stay at your post and do your duty. That's what the Marines say. And I think that's a very fitting commentary here. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Why is that significant? Because many scholars believe that Paul suffered from a terrible eye disease. And he used an amanuensis to write his letters for him many times, amanuensis. And so here, this is very personal. Remember my imprisonment. Grace be with you. Wow. As we think about this fitting conclusion, the only time the Apostle Paul really mentions himself is in his conclusion here where he says, remember my imprisonment. And he's not asking them to pray that he gets out. He's not asking them, because we've already seen that in Colossians. He's asking them to pray that through whatever it is he's going through in this imprisonment, that the gospel of Jesus Christ will go forward. That's always been his prayer. So I hope and pray that as you think about this book, as you go back and reread some of these pages, that you will just grow deep in your maturity with the Lord Jesus, knowing that he's all you need. For those of you that are serving the Lord in various capacities, you're a teacher, you're singing up here, you're playing an instrument, whatever it might be that you're doing in the ministry, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you will be encouraged to continue on and serve. And through that gospel, as our gospel mission states, that gospel will go forward through our love for one another and through our commitment to his church. So stay at your post. Do your duty to the glory of the Lord. Would you listen to these few notes of music? Just calm your hearts and think about what it is God is asking of you today.